You have your Bibles. I would like for you to turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll develop some scripture here tonight. Hopefully it'll help us, be an encouragement to go with the message that was presented this morning on getting on fire, getting in the ministry and doing some work for God. We speak of the love languages that we develop with our wife, our spouse, or our relationships that we have, that we enjoy. And one of the relationships as a Christian is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the primary relationship. And so you learn about the five love languages that are brought forth from the principles of the scriptures. And one of God's love languages is acts of service. And it's the least one that is actually presented to him, to God himself. And so how do you know that acts of service is God's love language? Well, that's what he did for us. He allowed his only begotten son to come to this earth and die for you and I and the sins of the world. You talk about saying somebody loves you and then having that done, not even known us 2,000 plus years ago, but is able to have the power to save our souls today. This dying age, the last days we live in, that is an act. That is an act of service. That is an act of love. And so we know from scriptures that one of the love language, if you want to speak God's love language in your Christian life, you say, I just want to please God. I might not nail the husband or the wife thing. I might not nail the pastor or the deacon or my neighbor, but you can nail God's. You want to speak God's love language? It's going to be acts of service. He wants service. And we can do a lot for him. We give him our time, our talents, our treasure. Tonight, I want to talk about desire, a godly desire. And we should develop and understand that as Christians, we should have a godly desire and to be able to maintain that godly desire in our lives. It's not just for a fleeting moment. It's not just when you're on top of the mountaintops, as Brother Floyd and I talk about through this week and last week. It's not all the good times. It's a lot of times down in the valley where you're trying to meet God, where you need his help, when the things haven't quite gone the way they should have went in your life, and you're going through something, you want to be able to say and understand that that desire is towards God, a godly desire. Let me take a drink here and we'll get started. Ephesians chapter 3. Notice with me, we'll start reading in verse 13 and we'll pick it up here in this paragraph and read to the end of the chapter. He says here in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. There's your heavenly body. There's your earthly body. A lot of times people struggle, and I don't mean to get off on a sidebar. This is a sidebar to see a heavenly body of Christ and an earthly body of Christ. This is one of the verses that you would use. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints that is what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we bow before you this evening, and we do thank you again for the freedom and the opportunity, and Father, the will and the right to be able to choose to come to church to hear more about you, and Father, to learn more about you, and Father, to be willing to commit ourselves to do more for you. And Father, I pray that tonight we would examine our desires in our hearts, that we not only examine our desires, Father, for our family, Father, the desires for maybe the job you've given us or the career you've given us and blessed us with, but a desire that, Father, should first burn in our hearts for you to bring glory and to bring praise to you tonight. Father, be with this message. Be with those that have come out. Be with their hearts. Strengthen them. Encourage them. and send a blessing out to those. Be with our prayer petition. And Father, the things that go on in the ministry of this church, continue to bless it, to strengthen it, and Father, to give it vision for the future. Now be with this message, be with my heart, and Father, strike not from my lips and my mind, but to use me as a vessel. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at this, we're going to zoom in on some of these verses, and we're going to examine what Paul, the Apostle Paul, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has given this this church in Ephesus, this epistle, Ephesians, to look at and to grow and to look at this desire. But let me, as I develop this first part, we need to ask ourselves a question. What do you desire to leave behind? So a lot of us, when you come to the end of your life, and we will one day if the Lord tarries, there's going to be some things that you are going to think on and ponder on, or maybe desire to leave behind. I've heard some men say and some women say, I would like to leave a legacy behind for my family that is behind me. And a lot of times that is put forth into all kinds of things, riches, land, you name it, that is done. But there's also another kind I've seen and watched where they've had a desire to want to leave something back that wasn't just maybe temporal. Like something you can expend, burn, use, but eternal. And I think that's probably more important in where we're going to look at tonight when it comes to desire. Oftentimes, Christians, we move our desires from being eternal to temporal. And we zoom in on the temporal things that we're around, that we enjoy, that compass our time and our money, and our families and our life. But more often than not, it's not the eternal that we think of. And so we're going to look tonight at a godly desire. And so we ask ourselves at the front of this, what do you desire to leave behind for your family? I think of a man in history, Patrick Henry, was an American attorney. He was a planner or orator, and he was best known for his declaration to the Second Virginia Convention. He said this, give me liberty or give me death. That was Patrick Henry, and a founding father, and he served as the first and sixth post-colonial governor of Virginia from about 1776 to 1779 or so it stayed. Now, Patrick Henry, he was a man that had desires, most men do, but I find it kind of strikingly fitting for the scriptures that we've read tonight and we're going to look at. And his desires, let me read this. The last paragraph of Patrick Henry's will says this, quote, I have now disposed of all my property for my family. There is one thing more I wish I could give them, and that is the Christian religion. If they had this, and I had not given them one shilling, they would be rich. And if they have not that, and I have given them all the world, they would be poor. It is better to die a pauper and have Christ than to die wealthy without Him. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul, according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 26? But we notice that that Patrick Henry's desire was not temporal. Although he had temporal and means and monetary and substance, you might say, but he was more intrigued and more devoted to the eternal than the temporal. All that our hearts tonight, yours and ours as Christians, we would lean more, we would desire more to be for the eternal than the temporal. Notice with me in verse number 14, as we look at these verses, hear what the Bible says about this desire. I want to draw our attention to three things. And the first thing we're going to look at is found in verses 14 through 16. But he says here in verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations, for for you which is your glory. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The first thing that we see with this desire is a desire to surrender our will. Paul here was laying out that he had a desire to surrender his will to God or to the things that are eternal. You'll find through Scripture and studying of God in the Bible, not too in-depth, but you'll find that God is for eternal things. You look into apologetics, and people ask questions about God. Why would God kill somebody and then not stop somebody from killing somebody? Or this went on. Or why did He kill so many people in the Old Testament? You got a lot of questions like that. And if you get to thinking about it, who made man? And if God is the creator or maker of man, what is it for God to take man from one temporal place and put him in another place? That's God's business. He has the power to do that. So is He really killing somebody? No. He has the power to do that. Here, you'll find that God's desire is that our desire is eternal things. And it's hard to focus as a Christian a lot of times, especially when we're focused and our desire is on the world or physical or temporal things. But here we see that our desire should be to surrender our will to the will of God. And so we find this right here in these few verses. And we see something in this. Look at verse 15. We see that Christ is the preeminent one. It's not self. It's not the church. It's not a group of people or an association. But we see that Christ is the preeminent one. Notice with me in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth. Heaven and in earth. That's God. That's the power of God that is able to sustain the family in heaven and in earth. It speaks of what is on earth and what is in heaven. Man, that's amazing power. And it speaks of what Christ is, the preeminent one. Notice, secondly, the key is the inner man. Notice how this is done, how that will or desire is changed to God's will or desire. Notice verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's the inner man that we teach on and preach on, that is filled and powered by the Holy Spirit. He quickened you when you got saved, when you accepted Christ. That's that inner man. That's that new man. And so that's where the strength comes. The key is the inner man. I doubt it if you ever get your flesh without crucifying it to line up with the inner man. You have to crucify one of those guys. And the Bible tells us to crucify the old flesh. You get him crucified, you get him to die daily. And the inner man will want to be fed. He want to be renewed. The grieving will go away. The quenching will go away. And he'll want to feed on the eternal things of this word. And you'll see direction in your Christian life. You'll see more focus in your Christian life. You'll see a stronger faith in your Christian life when you feed that inner man. So we see that's the point of here of surrendering our will to the will of the Father. But that's not all. Notice with me in verses number 17 through 19. We notice another desire here from the Apostle Paul. Not only was his desire to change his will, to surrender his will to the Father, but he has another desire here, a desire for people to be saved. You know, when you get saved, when I got saved, there should be a desire to see folks come to know Jesus Christ. What about seeing people drop off into hell and not saying nothing about it? Go on about your way. Kind of act like nothing went on. You didn't really see anything, and you see people slip into hell. I liken to religion like that. That's why a lot of times when we get on religion, I don't give it much leeway. I generally pound it into the ground. Pastor pounds it into the ground. I don't care what denomination. You can start with the Baptist. I know the Baptists in and out. But when you get a religion above Christ in your heart, religion will damn a soul to hell. And it's scary to watch them slip off into hell and nobody say nothing about it. Just go on about your way. That's sad. What about that? Man, we should have a desire to see people come to know Christ. And so here, this is what Paul, he said, I have a desire for people to be saved. Notice with this, verse 17, that Christ, watch this. This is all captioned from verse 13 now. Watch what he says here in unison. He says in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the depth or the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is speaking of your relationship and my relationship with Jesus Christ. His desire was to see people get saved. When we knock on a door or we pass out a track, and it didn't have to be on visitation, by the way. You could be anywhere. You might go to the grocery stores, lady. You might know somebody who you've made slight relationship or inroads into, and maybe in a business or somebody you see on a weekly basis. Maybe you can begin to share with them your testimony or a track, or invite them to church and see how it goes. You say, well, I'm scared to death to do that. I would be too, especially if I didn't ask God to give me the strength and the courage and the knowledge to do it in the first place. So if you're scared, ask God. God and the Holy Spirit will begin to work with you. He'll give you and develop in you a strength and a desire and a burden to win lost people to Him. And it's going to be us. You say, why is it going to be us? It's because one day we're going to give an account of what we did with the gospel of Christ. And when that person comes up there and says, well, I didn't know you were a Christian. Why didn't you say something? And you get that look. It's a weird look. People call it many different stuff. You know, like, you get really embarrassed because you didn't share the gospel. And so here, Paul says we need a desire. It's going to take a desire to win people to Christ. And so here we see faith in Christ changes lives. Faith in Christ changes a life. And so we see not only that faith in Christ changes a life, we see and realize that it's the love of God. It's the love of God that we spoke of earlier, that He sent His Son to die on the cross, not according to man, but according to the Scriptures, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, about verses 3 and 4. And so you see that it's the gospel, and it's the love of God that saves the lost person. But we need a desire. We need to develop a desire to reach the lost people. And that could be anywhere. A lot of times we stereotype where that goes on. A lot of times we stereotype, that church will stereotype, well, you can only witness in this over here, doing it this way. You can witness to anybody wherever you're at. There's been some crazy times where I've seen people witness to somebody. And so it can go on anywhere at any time, just like salvation can go on anywhere at any time. You don't have to be down here. It's not a bad place to be. This is for you and I. But you don't have to be here to get saved at the altar. And so you can get saved anywhere. Many of folk have been saved many different places. But it will take definitely a desire. Take a desire of someone to share the gospel with another beggar that needs bread, if you please, the spiritual bread. And let's move on here. There's something else. Thirdly, I want to notice is another desire that you see here. Now we're looking at verse 13. I'm in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. And we're going to look at verses 20 through 21. We see that Paul desired for God to be glorified. Oh, this is a lot of times, if you equate this correctly from Scripture, this eliminates about 90% of problems in churches. This would eliminate about 90% of problems in your family. And this would eliminate a lot of problems in the world if we would grab this desire that God should be glorified. And so we see this. Notice with me in verse 20. He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We see thirdly, this third desire that Paul lays on us is a desire for God to be glorified. Well, I think we should share that desire with one another. I think I should get a little bit, you should get a little bit, and then we'll give God what's left over. God don't work well on hand or handouts or seconds, if you please. He wants the first fruits. That's taught all the way through the Bible. He wants the glory. He gets the preeminence. It's not our glory to give, only to Him. And a lot of times we set that in when we talk about music. I said, now you do understand we're doing this for God. When we sing in the choir, we enjoy music. I enjoy music. And there's nothing wrong. It's good to enjoy music. It's for enjoyment. But the glory of it, the glorification is to glorify God. That's why if it doesn't glorify God, it's not God's music. It's man's music. It's the world's music. It's whatever. But if it brings glory and honor to God, it's for God. It's to be used for God. And so we see here, but his desire here is that God would get the glory. We see his power, his ability to be able to take this glory. He's worthy of it. I will butcher this quote, and I'm not going to try to put it out there. But there's a man who had a quote about being able to give glory and honor to God, even if you knew you weren't going to heaven. Because you understand that God is worthy of the glory that is due him. A lot of times we give him glory, yeah, because he saved our soul. Well, that's the same excuse that Job used on God. He worships you because you give him everything. You take everything from him, Job's life, and he'll curse you to his face, to you to your face. And he says, okay, go after him. And he didn't. Job didn't. He blessed the name of God. You know, you and I should be the same way. Our desire should be to glorify God no matter whether it's a good day or a bad day, a good week or a bad week, a good month or a bad month, a good year or a bad year. He's worthy of the glorified. This is speaking of a godly desire. He said, well, I don't get that. Well, there would be a reason why we wouldn't. It's because our desire is not a godly desire. It's a worldly or self-desire. We should center ourselves with this correct desire. Right, we see here, we weren't made, you and I, the world, the people of the world, we were made to be love according to the Bible. We were not made to be placed in the lake of fire. God did not create man. God did not condemn man to sin and to die without a remedy. And that remedy is the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't make you and I to go to the lake of fire. He said that place was designed for the devil and his angels. We were created to bring glory to God. This is what we're trying to say tonight. This is what the Apostle Paul is laying out to the Ephesian church, that look, we were designed to bring glory to God, but often we bring glory to self. We bring glory to association or a group of people or whatever, and it's not really God. And so we need to change our desires. He allowed Jesus Christ to show his love on the cross for you and I. Our desire should always be to give God glory, no matter the cost, with our hearts. Because it starts in the hearts, with our minds, and with all our might. We can do this, we can talk about it, but our hearts a lot of times are far from what we say. And it would do us well, and it would make a great strong testimony for the world to see Christians doing what they say they believe. And we could start with a desire to please God. We could start with a desire to see lost souls get saved. And we could start with a desire to surrender our will to God's will, therefore allowing the light to shine through us into this dark world. And so we understand that our desires a lot of times are not lined up with God's. Tonight, let me ask you real quickly and we'll close. Where is your desire? Do you have a godly desire? Do you have a heart for the things of God? Let's all stand. You say, well, I don't know. I thought I did, but now after looking at some of this, maybe I need to align myself a little closer to what the Scripture is saying about our desires. It was once said of this, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And I keep saying this tonight, a lot of our desires is just for this world. It's hard, even for Christians, to to understand that we're not living for this world. We're living for another world where we're going. We have a lot of loved ones over there. A lot of loved ones we're going to see. That's where we're intended to be. And tonight, if you say, well, I'm not for sure I'm going to go to heaven. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, tonight you can change eternity right here and right now tonight by accepting Jesus Christ. Maybe everybody in here is saved. Hopefully so. Prayerfully so. But you see, my desire hasn't been quite to God. And I need to change my desire to please God. To have a burden. You say, well, I don't have a burden for lost souls. Pray to God to either rekindle that old burden or to give you a burden for lost souls. He's willing because he said this. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire and his will. And we can match our desire to God's desire by simply yielding our hearts to God. And you say, well, I don't have that tonight. You can ask. He'll give it to you. He'll happily give it to you. Pastor.